are listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. North Carolina's House District 19 covers the southern portion of New Hanover County. That means the beach towns and the Myrtle Grove area. Republican Ted Davis has held the seat since his appointment in 2012. He's been reelected three times and is now seeking his fourth term. He faces two challengers this year: Libertarian David Perry, whom we'll meet in the last segment, and Democratic challenger Marsha Morgan, who joins us now. Morgan worked as director of master's theses for the Department of Physical Education at Smith College for 2 years. She then enlisted in the Army, attained her commission, and served in Korea, Germany, the Netherlands, and the Pentagon. After retiring as a colonel, she returned as a contractor to the Army and says she continues to provide logistical support to soldiers. Marsha Morgan, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much for having me.
Today's interview, as a reminder, is pre-recorded. Why, Marsha Morgan, did you go from a life in academia to the Army? What led you to enlist?
That's a very complex answer. The short answer is, I'll say a 2x4 up the side of the head from God redirected me. It was through a series of, a lot of deep time in prayer that caused me to change and say that this is the direction that I'm being refocused. I had no knowledge of the military, so it was all a very new and foreign environment for me.
Not every candidate talks about their religious life as directing their major life choices. How much of a role does your spirituality play in your life?
I think it plays a great role in it. It's part of the way that I was raised, and it certainly has been a big part of major decisions in my life. It gives me a great deal of security and comfort. I believe it gives me a sense of, a very strong sense of what's right and wrong, and of honor and integrity.
And what is the religious tradition that you're part of?
I was raised in the Methodist Church, went to a Methodist undergraduate school. Within the military, because it's very difficult in a number of places to have any one religion, I wound up being involved in and participating in a number of different religions and learning a lot about a number of different ones.
When Democratic Governor Roy Cooper proposed a plan to deal with the unfolding drinking water quality issue after scientists discovered this unregulated and potentially toxic compound in the river, Cooper's plan included more money for the Department of Environmental Quality, which had been seriously cut over the last several years. The Republican majority rejected that plan and instead went a different way, funding some studies. Part of the argument for that approach is that the agency charged with regulating the compound fell down on the job. This had been happening. This compound had been getting dumped into the drinking water supply for the last three decades or so. And so clearly funding that agency wasn't preventing the compound from going into the water. What do you say about that approach and the way that was handled at the legislature?
Because I don't know enough about how strong DEQ was in the earlier years and what their charter was, I don't think they knew enough to look for that particular compound. My thought on the approach to Gen X would be, let's pick another disaster. If your house is on fire, you put out the fire, and then you go back and you figure out what's wrong, and you fix it from that point on. In terms of Gen X, as soon as they discovered it was a problem, the solution is do whatever you have to stop that pollution going into the water, and then go back and figure out what do we do from here moving forward.
And there is no Gen X currently being dumped into the Cape Fear River.
That is correct. What we don't know is the other chemicals that are there and what impact they may have. Gen X has a sexy name, so it's easy to say we remember it. But there are many other compounds that are there that we know nothing about. We don't know what their impact is on the health, on the environment. We need to do a lot more studying.
And so why would you be a good person to go to Raleigh to move that issue forward?
I think one of the things that I offer as a future representative of this area is my background. I'm at a point now where I don't owe anybody anything. And I have a reputation for getting things done. So my approach is to go in, figure out what the problem is, work toward a solution and move from there. And it doesn't matter to me that much about am I stepping on some corporation's toes? My concern is the people I represent, and I will always put people over corporations.
And are you alleging that your Republican opponent has put corporations over people? Is that what's going on? Are you not satisfied with the Republican response to the drinking water supply issue?
That is correct. I am not satisfied with the Republican response. The monies that they put toward it were, first of all, inadequate. They were so closely defined and directed that they were ineffective in terms of what type of mass spectrometer should we get. And based on, I'll say, input from Chemours, they selected one that would only identify a specific compound versus a little bit more expensive one that will identify a wide range of compounds. And we need the ability to look across the board.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. We're talking with Marsha Morgan, Democratic candidate for North Carolina House District 19. She's challenging Republican incumbent Ted Davis, who's held the seat for 3.5 terms and is seeking his fourth. Today's interviews are pre-recorded. Since Hurricane Florence dumped waste from hog lagoons and coal ash into North Carolina's waterways, there has been talk of further scrutiny of, for instance, the way hog waste is managed in the state. But this industry is critical to North Carolina's agricultural economy. And also, when you really look at the number of hog lagoons that breached, it's a tiny percentage. Do you think Hurricane Florence warrants another look at how hog waste is managed? And how would you move the hog farm discussion forward in the state?
I think it's not just Florence, but it is how they deal with the hog waste on a daily basis. The issue of the neighbors to the hog farms and the way that they aerate the waste, and it lands on neighboring communities, usually communities that are less affluent and have other issues. It's almost like you're taking advantage of the neighbors. So there are better technologies available. They cost some money.
They cost more.
Yes, they do cost more. There are other states that have applied those technologies, have required those technologies to be applied. I think that we have every right as a state protecting our people to do the same thing. The CEO of Chemours in China made around $750 billion last year. They can afford to make these changes. We need to protect our local hog farmers.
You mean Smithfield.
Smithfield,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. Just checking.
Yes. We need to protect our local farmers. They are not the ones that need to carry the burden of that. But we can go back to Smithfield and to its owners and say, you need to provide this technology. You need to institute this technology. I think because of the magnitude of the pork industry here, we are not at risk of losing it. I think we're too big a market for them to say, we're going to pick up and go someplace else. There aren't that many other places that they can go without a tremendous expense. It's going to be cheaper for them to make this correction and to be a good neighbor than it is to pick up and go somewhere else.
Talking about being a good neighbor, we've watched some of these lawsuits happen, these nuisance lawsuits over, you know, neighboring hog farms, and those awards have been seriously cut by state statute. But people who say those lawsuits shouldn't be moving forward often say, why do those people live there? If it's bothering them, why don't they move? In most cases, the hog farms were there first.
I don't know the number of who was there first. For some people, it's the only place they can afford to live. But it goes beyond, yes, you may realize that there's going to be an odor to living there, and you certainly will know that when you drive up. I'm from Texas. I've gone by cattle farms for a long time. There are certain things that you understand. I don't think you fully comprehend that they are going to be spraying waste on your home, and that's going to get into your home, into your clothing, onto the side of your home. You don't understand that that's going to be part of the package deal.
We know that North Carolina is still struggling to attract and keep excellent teachers in its public schools, largely due to issues of funding. What do you think the state's responsibility is along those lines?
I think we have an obligation to protect our students and to develop them fully. In a nutshell, two resources we have you can't afford to mess up: your children and your environment. If you mess those up, it takes too long to recover. So let's start with the students. In order to fully grow them into what they are capable of being, you have to have a strong structure. Your school system has to be good. To have a good school system, it really hinges on having great teachers. You cannot have great teachers if you are not paying them, if you are not recognizing them for what they are doing. So the first thing is we need to let them know that we value what they do. You do that by paying them an appropriate salary, not something that's $10,000 below the national average. You show them that respect by making sure that they have the right resources in their classroom, that the class size is appropriate, that they can actually teach and not just try and monitor and count heads. There are a number of things that we can do to make our schools better.
It was 2016. When your opponent, Ted Davis, publicly announced he unequivocally opposes offshore drilling for oil and natural gas. That's a break with many of his Republican colleagues in Raleigh. But ultimately, Raleigh might not have much say in whether that kind of activity moves forward in the Mid-Atlantic. How would you tackle the issue if you were sent to Raleigh?
I am 100% behind Governor Cooper in fighting against having offshore drilling come anywhere near our North Carolina coast. I'm not only concerned about the impact of the drills and the oil wells and the potential environmental spills that could happen, but I am opposed to the testing that would happen beforehand.
The seismic testing.
The seismic testing, because of the impact that it has on the wildlife and the marinas. So the whole issue is one that I think we need to fight very hard to stay away from. We need to look at alternate forms to fossil fuel industry. I live at the beach. We have a lot of wind. We have a lot of sun. We have no excuse for backing away from utilizing those assets and making the most of them.
The United Nations released a climate change report that is nothing less than alarming and emphasizes the importance of cutting emissions by 45% by 2030 in order to keep global warming within 1.5 degrees Celsius. Does North Carolina have any role, in your opinion, in contributing to this effort? If so, how?
I think that all of us have a role in that to some degree. All of us can do better. As a state, yes, can we find ways to control our industries to have fewer emissions that impact the climate change? Can we do better at recycling? Can we encourage going to alternate energy sources that don't have the same negative impact on the environment? I think there are things that we can do.
Your opponent, Ted Davis, has racked up some hefty seniority in the House. He is the senior chair of the House Select Committee on North Carolina River Quality. More importantly, he's the vice chair of the Rules Committee, which frequently controls how and whether proposed legislation ever sees the light of day again. Why should voters reject that level of power in the State House? You would be going in as a freshman.
I would be going in as a freshman. One of my concerns is, as a person with that level of seniority, he has not been using it effectively. I come from a background within the military of strong leadership. I would say some of the examples would be, I'll go to the ABC bill. He was on the committee, he was the chair of the committee that brought it forward. It had his name on it. He said, oh, well, no, it only has my name on it because I was the chairperson. It's not that I really support it. My position is, if you are really a strong leader and you're going to make use of that seniority, you ought to have some control over your committee members. You ought to have the ability to convince them one way or the other. If there's an action you don't agree with, you ought to be able to argue it effectively to keep it from moving forward. Another example would be, as the senior chair of the River Committee, yes, he got the House to support him, But without the coordination with the Senate, that action went nowhere. And in fact, he was criticized because it was an ineffective bill. So that's part of the package.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Marsha Morgan, thanks so much for sharing your views with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
When we come back, we'll meet Libertarian Party candidate David Perry. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.